Kia ora, welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson.
It is deeply offensive to every Australian who has served in that uniform. It is utterly outrageous and it cannot be justified on any basis whatsoever.
The fury from Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison was evident as he responded to the tweet posted by senior Chinese Foreign Minister spokesperson Li Jianzhao, depicting a doctored photo of an Australian soldier holding a knife to an Afghan child's throat. The image was posted in reference to the damning war crimes report finding Australian soldiers responsible for at least 39 unlawful killings in Afghanistan. It came with the caption, "Don't be afraid, we come to give you peace."
The Chinese government should be totally ashamed of this post. It diminishes them in the world's eyes. Australia is seeking an apology from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs from the Chinese government for this outrageous post.
There was no apology forthcoming. The response from China's Foreign Affairs spokesperson Hua Chunying was to talk about the, quote, heinous crimes committed by some Australian soldiers in Afghanistan and the shocking and appalling details in the report. Rather than China being ashamed, she suggested the Australian government should feel ashamed that some of its soldiers on official duty in Afghanistan committed such cruelties. Graham Smith of the Australia National University says the doctored image marks a new low point in China-Australian relations. He says the current controversy is more about just the bilateral relationship, but as part of a bigger China-US power play. I asked him whether this has touched a raw nerve given the war crimes report that reflects very poorly on Australia is at the heart of it all.
When I first looked at it, I thought, oh gosh, this is a tremendous misstep by China in sort of posting this image on what is an official government website. But if you take a step back from it and say, well, what purpose does this serve? Essentially, it's a bit like a nation being trolled. And if you respond to a troll and jump up and down and get really indignant, then you draw attention to what the troll is trying to highlight. And in this case, China is trying to highlight the Brereton Report, which is horrific. But by reacting so strongly to this, we're drawing more international attention to it. So again, that in that sense, China's end is served.
One thing that's been fascinating to watch has been the way that China has responded, as you said, almost like in a trolling way, from the desk, from the foreign spokespeople, from the Global Times, from social media. Do you think this signals a way that it's going to conduct itself in future when it's taking on an issue like this?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, it's almost like Donald Trump's methods have been sort of adopted with relish, somewhat clumsily, by Chinese officials. I mean, when Zhao Lijian, who's kind of the most notorious for this wolf warrior diplomacy, first started making controversial utterances earlier in the year, a lot of analysts like me were wondering, well, you know, is this kind of a split in the foreign ministry? Is this sort of that hardline outliers within the ministry? But it now seems that his approach is becoming mainstream. And so we probably can expect more of this over time, this much coarser, less diplomatic approach to diplomacy.
And where now from here, Graham? Where do you see this ending up?
Look, it's hard to say. I mean, you don't want to say we've reached rock bottom because, you know, we can always go further. There have been sanctions against almost every Australian product, significance you can imagine, apart from iron ore, which, of course, is one where they don't have an alternative market. So it is really impossible to predict the end game here. It's largely about signalling the Biden administration. So to an extent, whether ties are repaired depends on what happens with China-America ties. And that's not up to Australia.
The day after the tweet was posted, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern was asked for this country's view.
Whether it's Canada or Australia or indeed the United States, we observe closely relationships with our major trading partner, China, and others. But of course, we always conduct our relationship in our own interests. We will speak up on issues that we have concerns about. We will stick to our independent foreign policy, but that doesn't stop us observing what's happening with others.
How uncomfortable is the situation for us, given it's our best mate and our biggest trading partner?
Look, of course, we do observe closely what happens across the ditch, as they do with us. I've seen some of the latest discussion over what was a Twitter image, which we've seen a lot of commentary over. New Zealand has registered directly with Chinese authorities. Our concern over the use of that image, it was an unfactual post, and of course that would concern us. So that is something that we've raised directly in the manner that New Zealand does when we have such concerns.
What's the risk then that New Zealand gets dragged into something, either as an ally and friend of Australia or a Five Eyes partner, into a conflict that's not necessarily directly related to us?
Well, look, you could characterise even what's occurring in Hong Kong or Xinjiang in that way. We don't see it that way. In international relations, we'll often have an interest regardless of whether it's on our soils or not. For us, though, we will always raise it in a way that's in keeping with our diplomatic relationships.
The National Party leader Judith Collins was asked how New Zealand can balance any conflict between two countries with whom it has such important relationships.
Yeah, we always have to be very careful how we deal with these things, and particularly for a very small nation where it can sometimes be seen as easier for any country to put pressure on us, certainly financially or in security ways. We've had a very proud history of the last 30 odd years of trying to steer a very independent way through, but understanding that, and I've always said this to people, one of the best things for New Zealand is to have multiple trading options, as well as our very good security options.
But if push comes to shove, should New Zealand rest back on its more traditional alliances such as Five Eyes and potentially the States, or our economic interests in China?
I think it's a hard situation, and it's one thing that we would give a lot of thought to. In terms of security, absolutely, we are very fortunate to be part of the Five Eyes arrangements. In terms of trade, as I keep saying to other countries and their ambassadors and high commissioners, give us a free trade deal and then we can talk.
Kiwis bleat like Aussie sheep but don't condemn Afghan killings was the headline on China's state-run media Global Times website the following day. In response to the statements coming out of New Zealand, China questioned why it had chosen to involve itself. In a foreign affairs press briefing, Hua Chunying suggested that by weighing in, New Zealand was showing it supported Australia's actions in Afghanistan.
To be frank, when I saw reports that the New Zealand raised concerns to China about this picture, I'm astonished. What has this thing to do with New Zealand?
I asked Professor Robert Aysen from Victoria University about the geopolitical scrap playing out in such a fraught manner.
Clearly, I think China is basically making a bit of an example out of Australia. So China has chosen to try to isolate Australia, put pressure on it in a way that's quite remarkable. And of course, also, Australia has raised quite a significant catalogue of concerns about China and has probably gone further than most other countries, with the exception of the United States, in raising criticisms of China. And so you've really got that is the ingredients for a relationship, which at the moment is not in good shape, but I'm not necessarily convinced that that's a permanent situation.
How much of the tensions between, or that singling out of Australia by China, is because of the close relationship between Australia and the US? Is this part of a bigger game?
I think certainly that China is responding to some of the things that Australia has been saying, and I think that Australia's argument about the need for an inquiry into COVID might have been one of those things that took things over the top. But clearly China does have the aim of trying to separate America's leading allies from the United States, and so is trying to use this as a way of dividing the alliance as much as it can, or at least getting Australia to take a softer line to get Australia to indicate some distance between Australia and Washington.
New Zealand stepped into the fray with its expression of concern to China. What implications does this have for the relationship?
I guess there's always a risk, and we saw this when New Zealand joined in on that statement about Hong Kong with the four other members of the Five Eyes group. And we saw China talking about poking those members in the eye and talking also about the evils of the Five Eyes alliance. And so clearly there's always a risk in terms of, you know, closely connecting oneself to traditional security partners if China objects to that. But it seems to me there are also risks in New Zealand not
indicating its support for Australia. Even if New Zealand would not have taken quite the same approach to China as Australia has, I think it would be unwise just to sit back and think that things are going to go back to normal and New Zealand's interests can be protected as long as we're okay directly in a bilateral sense.
Former trade negotiator Charles Finney says New Zealand is in a different position to Australia.
China sees New Zealand as being more independent and certainly would be aware of what would happen if we were to be heavied in the trade space. You know, it would, you know, if you're wanting New Zealand to stay independent, don't do what's happening to Australia because it would force us into a different camp. And I don't think China wants to do that.
I asked him whether New Zealand would have more protection than Australia under its free trade deal with China.
No, our free trade agreement does allow us to take anti-dumping action against China and vice versa. This is no constraint. There is an early warning mechanism, so we'll know about it fast if they are planning to do something. But basically the rules are very similar, if not identical. So we would be vulnerable. I don't think that we will see this happen to New Zealand anytime soon, because I think the Australian situation is very different from ours. You're in Beijing, you're looking at New Zealand, you see a country that is close to Australia and will side with Australia on lots of issues, but on some other issues we don't.
In terms of the trade relationship from here on, and how would you like to see New Zealand position itself so as to protect that economic aspect of the relationship?
Oh, look, China is our largest trading partner, double the size in terms of goods trade as our next largest trading partner, which is Australia. I really would be surprised if there's any trade retaliation for anything New Zealand's done, because I don't think there's anything that we've done that China would be that worried about. But I do think the government, Prime Minister and Minister Mahuta, should be talking to their Chinese counterparts pretty quickly just to say, look, we want to have a good, friendly relationship with you. You're a very important partner, not just in the trade area, but on other areas, for example, climate change. We want to work with you, but there will be issues on which we disagree. We're happy to disagree with Australia on some issues, with the United States on some issues, with other friendly countries on some issues. That's because we have a relationship of equals. Good friends can disagree on some issues. So don't misinterpret our position as being siding with any one group or another, but this is not a hostile act.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says New Zealand's ability to remain independent is extremely important.
It's very common in diplomacy for it always to be considered in amongst the relationship that other nations or the other dialogues other nations are in, but we've always taken a perspective from what are our values and what does that dictate we do in these situations. And that's served us well. You know, we are, I think, increasingly moving into, you know, maturity in our relationship. That means that we can have those strong, particularly economic ties, but at the same time still share in a way that we do, be it either in direct bilaterals or through our officials, share when we have concerns. We need to normalise that, because that's how New Zealand has always conducted its diplomacy.
Is China becoming more bullish towards countries like Australia and potentially New Zealand?
Yeah, you know, I don't think any country remains entirely static, either in their global positioning or in their approach to diplomacy. New Zealand has a consistency in our diplomacy that I think is probably quite rare. Many other countries, it will change and evolve over time. But that's one of the benefits of our relationship, is that we are relatively predictable regardless of the politics or who's in government at the time. We are pretty consistent in the way that we engage with other countries, and there's a benefit to that. It means there's less of a politicisation to the way that we deal with these diplomatic issues.
Did New Zealand make the right judgment call by expressing concern to China over the tweet relating to the Australian Defence Force?
Yeah, well, actually, the point that, you know, we made there was simply that it was a matter of principle for us. Had Australia done the same thing, we would have raised that with them too. That's, again, why it's about that consistency. Of course, China is well within their rights to raise concerns that they have around any international actor in their behaviour in a theatre of war. Absolutely. But for us, it was just the use of a false image, and anyone who had done that, we would likely raise those concerns. But that's where the matter ends for us. We've raised it, that's what we do, and we've done that.
China did say, you know, what's it got to do with New Zealand? Why is New Zealand involving itself in this?
Oh, and look, there's other areas where that question often is raised. For us, we raise issues where we have concerns, and then once we've done that, we leave it there.
But was that an error to even be seen to be taken aside with Australia in such a fraught situation where emotions were obviously quite high on both sides?
And I guess that would be the point that I'd make, is that for New Zealand, we are very clear that these are not matters about taking sides. Again, if we saw Australia use a false image, we would raise that concern too. For us, it was just a principle. We raised it, and now that we've done that, that's the matter for us and from our perspective.
Do you think the relationship with China is as strong and stable now as it was at the start of the year?
Oh, look, yes, I do actually. There have been multiple times where there have been issues that we have been able to raise, and we do, whilst continuing, you know, as I say, I think, a mature relationship.
Let's focus on politics. I'm Jane Patterson. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.